Now, at the start of the new year, Randy and I give text cards out. I've been unwell this week, so I'm a bit behind the curve. So I'm afraid, God willing, text cards will be next Sunday. But the verse that will be on those cards, I want to address this morning. So the verse is, don't need to turn to it, but Psalm 63. And it says this, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Hold that in your mind and come with me to John chapter 13, the reading which we had. So John 13, verses 21 to 30. Now, Sunday morning service, what follows a Sunday morning service? Sunday lunch. And before you start thinking about Sunday lunch, I want to turn our thoughts to another meal. Now, at lunchtime, you might be sitting on your own. You might be sitting with the family. You might, as some are, sit with your fellowship group. Some are eating in the back hall afterwards. Sitting, we sit opposite people. And we sit next to people. And in this meal, where people are placed is key. Now, the meal is the Last Supper. And it's high drama. Jesus is troubled. He says, one of you will betray me. And John pans the camera around to see the astonished faces of the disciples. And Peter motions to John, who is it? And John leans back on Jesus' chest to have a whispered conversation. Lord, who is it? And then the offer of friendship and love to Judas, the betrayer. Verse 26, Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And for Judas, the moment of decision has come, from which there will be no return. Verse 27, then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Well, this morning, three things to say, three points. And point number one, love and betrayal. Now, in 1498, Leonardo da Vinci, he completed his work, The Last Supper, and it's a huge mural. You've probably seen pictures of it. It's absolutely vast. It's 15 feet by 29 feet. Yeah, you work that out in meters, those who work in that with meters. And there, if you see the picture, the disciples are all seated on chairs behind a long table. Now, that's the wrong picture. The right picture, as we come to John 13, is Jesus and his disciples. They're reclining around a low U-shaped table. Apparently, slaves would eat either sitting down or standing up. If you were a free person, you would lean on your side and eat. And that's where they are. They're reclining around a low U-shaped table and their feet are stretched out behind them. To Jesus' right is John. Now, elsewhere we're told he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's Jesus' closest friend. And John is leaning back. He's leaning back with his head on Jesus' chest. Literally in the Greek, in the bosom of Jesus. And it's to John that Jesus discloses the secret of who it is who will betray him. It is he to whom I give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Now, dipping your bread and giving it to another is a mark of special friendship. So as far as everyone else is concerned, Judas is the favored one. The other disciples have no idea. The identity of the betrayer is a secret to all except John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But if John is to Jesus' right, the suggestion is that Judas is to Jesus' left. For Jesus to be able to dip the bread and give it to Judas, Judas must be at least within arm's length. He's within arm's reach. And if you read Matthew's account, it implies a private conversation between Jesus and Judas that nobody else hears. So if John is to Jesus' right, maybe Judas is to the left. And in John's account, he sits us opposite this scene with Peter. So there's Jesus in the middle. To his right is John. And to his left, perhaps, Judas. And facing them, Peter. John puts us all in Peter's shoes. Jesus, John, Judas. John in the bosom of Jesus. Satan in the bosom of Judas. Jesus shares his secret with John. Judas hides his secret from Jesus. John leans back, drawing nearer to Jesus. Judas walks away from Jesus. John abides in the light. Judas leaves the circle of light from which there is no return. Did you notice the way John puts it in verse 30? After receiving the morsel of bread, he went out, and it was night. Judas is leaving the circle of light and going into the darkness. And there we sit with Peter. Now, Judas, verse 26, is the son of Simon. Peter, of course, is Simon Peter. Peter, Simon Peter. And the question is being thrown out, is it? How much of a son of Simon are you, Peter? Because remember, this is the night when Peter will deny Christ three times. So as Peter sits there, the question is, in effect, being thrown out, isn't it? Peter, will you follow John, the beloved, leaning on Jesus' bosom, close to his heart, feeling his breath upon you, sharing his secrets, an ever-deepening intimacy and love? Or Peter, will you follow Judas, the betrayer, keeping secrets from Jesus, refusing his overtures of love, and walking out into the darkness? Peter, is it John or Judas, love or betrayal? So point number two. Judas. Now, there can only ever be one Judas. But Peter's choice is our choice. Now, I've been a Christian for 41 years. I've been a pastor for over 28 years. And people who have preached to me, counseled me, warned me, people who have stood next to me in the warfare, the work, and the witness, some of those people have walked out on Christ. Like Judas, they've stepped out into the night. And like Judas, none of us thought it would happen to them. Brothers and sisters, remember Jesus in the wilderness. When does Satan make his move? After 40 days, when Jesus is weak, hungry, and isolated. And Satan says to Jesus, it doesn't have to be like this. There are other options. In Matthew's account, we put it like this. Jesus 40 days hungry. So Satan comes. Didn't God promise to give you your daily bread? Haven't you waited long enough? Aren't you the Son of God? Why don't you take things into your own hands? There's more to life than the Father's will. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And if God has failed to provide for your daily needs, then ask the question, is God reliable at all? Can you risk everything for him? Maybe you need some concrete evidence that God is still with you before you commit yourself to doing his will. Anyway, let the world see that you have God on your side, that you're the one who's in with the Almighty. And the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And anyway, the way of the cross is painful. It means humiliation, hurt, being ignored, resented, rejected, hated. You're going to live and die without the recognition that you deserve. And to be the slave of all. And at the end of it, you're going to die a bitter, wretched, hopeless death under the curse of God. A life of sacrifice. So why waste your life on that? And at the end of it all, an agonizing death. Why do it? Why worship the Lord? It's too costly, isn't it, to surrender everything to doing his will? Let me show you another way. A pain-free way to the crown. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Just acknowledge me. That it's from my hand that you can receive the world. Just make one little compromise. Just bend the knee. And all this will be yours. But Jesus doesn't waver. In fact, this time of testing becomes an opportunity for Jesus to worship. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Begone, Satan. None of those temptations had traction with Jesus. But they had traction with Judas. Then, after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Now, Christian friends, there can only ever be one Judas. But as Peter sits opposite, we've got Judas, Jesus, John. And Peter's choice is our choice. Judas yielded to Satan. His arguments found a ready hearing. They had traction. So what of us? Am I 40 days hungry? And you can almost taste the temptation. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And Satan is saying to you, go on. Do it. Do it. Take things into your own hands. Do what seems good to you. Because there's more to life than the Father's will. Christian friends, 40 days, and maybe you feel that God has abandoned you. You have so many dreams and hopes and ambitions unfulfilled, and so much hard, back-breaking work for the kingdom, and so little to show for it. In those early days, it was all right, wasn't it? God was with you. The blessing was evident, and there was a sense in which you were in with the Almighty. But recently it's been lean pickings. And God is nowhere to be seen. Can I go on risking everything for him? And Satan whispers, well, before you go any further, before you commit yourself to the Lord in 2019, maybe you need a sign, something concrete. faith is no longer enough. You need concrete evidence that God is still with you. So why don't you put God on the spot? Force his hand. Lord, if you are with me, set him a deadline, an event, a something. And when you cross the deadline and nothing happens, well, I'm therefore going to go my own way and do my own thing. Christian friend, 40 days. It's hard being a Christian, isn't it? I don't know about you, I find following Jesus is killing me. One too many humiliations. One too many hurts. One too many rejections. Maybe it's time for me. What about my family? My health? And my career? And my opportunities? And my reputation? And what about my retirement? Why live and die without the recognition that I deserve? And with this lot, and in this crummy building, why do it? Why make the sacrifice? I don't get any thanks. Why take up my cross? Why die to self again? Why surrender everything to doing his will when his will seems so hard, so costly? And Satan whispers, maybe there's another way. Another way to the crown. A pain-free option. A chance to make a success of your life. Christian friend, are you a disappointed man? Are you a disappointed woman? Maybe you're a righteous man wronged. Maybe that's what Judas felt. I've given everything to this Jesus, but it's not turning out as I expected. I've been wronged. A righteous man wronged. A righteous woman let down. And you can begin to feel, I deserve so much better. And the thought that Satan has sown, because it can be a tiny, tiny thought, is beginning to root and to grow. And like Judas, you're still within the circle of light. And like Judas, you're still taking bread from Jesus' hand. And like Judas, you're still professing loyalty and friendship. No one would ever suspect it was you. But Christian friend, are you keeping secrets from Jesus? That little thought is growing. And it's growing. And you're keeping it a secret from him. And you're not going to surrender it to him. We sit with Peter. His choice is our choice. Judas, Jesus. And number three, point number three, John. Now, Jesus is now crowned, isn't he? Seated upon the throne of heaven. And from his throne, he sends down his Holy Spirit, his other self. So, a little further on, John 14, verse 15, we're told about the coming of the Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus sends down his Spirit, his other self. And the coming of the Spirit, Jesus says, I will come to you. So Jesus comes to us by his Spirit, which means that John's privilege is available to us all. While Jesus is in the flesh, there's only room for one John. But now he sent down his Spirit, All of us can become the beloved disciple. Christ, by his Spirit, resting in our bosom, and we, by the Spirit, resting upon his bosom. We sang Ken's hymn, didn't we? We sang it because he'd love to choose it. Often we say, you know, choose a hymn and Ken would be first out of the traps. And we'd always go to this hymn. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. Now, what is that if it is not a longing to be like John? To rest on Jesus. To hear his heartbeat. To be always at his side. To share his secret. Psalm 25, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. To know, like John, an ever growing and deepening intimacy and love. So, Christian friends, the invitation to Peter and the invitation to us all, now the Spirit has come, is the invitation to be like John. To be close to Jesus. Jesus, my joy, my song, my all. My first thought, my last thought, my waking thought, the thought that keeps me awake. Jesus, my brother, captain, king, and I will follow you wherever you lead me. Jesus, my Lord and my God, I will obey you whatever your command. And Jesus, my bridegroom. Yes, he's all together lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. And I've never, ever had a friend like this. Who really knowing me would still be my friend? But here is my heavenly friend. The friend of sinners who knows everything about me and has made himself my friend. How did ever we and Jesus become good company? He glorious, me vile, he majesty, me meanness, he beautiful, me deformed, he pure, me filthy. And yet he exchanges all that he is. All that is his, he exchanges it for mine. He's the one who becomes vile, mean, deformed, filthy. So that I can enjoy all that is his. He loves me. Invincibly, unchangeably, inexhaustibly, everlastingly. And like Wesley, we have to say, Lord, why this waste of love? And he will go from this Passover supper to Golgotha. And he'll be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The sin of the world in the presence of the Holy God. And his body will be broken. And his blood will be shed. And as I witness the drops of his agony, I read his heart, the meltings of his heart for a wretch like me. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself. What more could he give? He gave himself for me. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, and let me stamp it hard, never outlive my love to thee. Christian friends, we sit with Peter, Judas, John. Which is it? Our greatest need is closeness to Jesus, isn't it? To live near his heart. And Christian friend, if I'm living at a distance from him, then oh, that I would know what true loneliness is. That's real loneliness. To live at a distance from Jesus. And knowing that loneliness, that emptiness, to run back to his side. And perhaps therefore we can sum it all up by that text for 2019. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I'd rather die enjoying his love than live on without it. Writing from prison, Samuel Rutherford said this: O my Lord Christ, if I could be in heaven without thee, it would be hell. And if I could be in hell and have thee, it would be a heaven to me, for thou art all I want. Was he a fanatic? Driving through London, you're bombarded by signs. Now, some of those signs you mustn't ignore. You've got to stop at a red light, haven't you? Haven't you? And you're supposed to stop when it turns orange as well. And green lights, you go when the light is green. You have to. But some signs are a distraction. This way to a better life. You buy this, wear that, drink this, eat that. And those distractions have a way of getting into our heads. But what do we learn to do? We learn to focus. Because I want to get home safely. I want to get home by the shortest route. And so we close out the distractions and we obey what should be obeyed. Christian friends, as we pass through this world on the King's highway, we're bombarded by messages promising us a better life. After all, this way, the King's highway, it's narrow, isn't it? And it's hard. And it's unpopular. And how can we be sure of the destination? Time to take things into your own hands. Take the next left. And unless something changes pretty soon, because it looks like God has forgotten you, well, take the next right. And on this road, anyway, what about the dangers that lie ahead? And it always seems to be uphill. This way is easier. You'll find it's a broad road. It's a nice, gentle downhill, and the company's good. But what must we do? We keep our eyes on this sign. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Christian friend, do you feel let down following Jesus? Are you disappointed? It's not big enough. His love is bigger than our letdowns. Are there opportunities to get on in the world? Yeah, small compromises, but big gains. Christian friend, they're not enough. His love is bigger than our compromised opportunities. Our great need is to live near Jesus, to commune with him. You see, Judas heard all Jesus' sermons. He witnessed his miracles. In fact, he performed miracles himself. But for Judas, it wasn't enough. And Christian friend, you can rehearse in your head all the arguments for following Jesus. And it might for a time convince your mind. But it won't convince your soul. And an empty soul will go wandering. An empty soul will find those messages of Satan appealing. They'll have traction. My soul needs to be filled with Christ, a felt Christ, a known Jesus. So, Christian friend, have you in Jesus parted company? Well, you'll know where to find him, won't you? You'll find him where you lost him. Did you stop praying? So now prayers are just snatched, a quick confession of sin because you feel bad about things, quick asking to bless something, and on with the day. And he's out of focus and out of thought for the rest of the day. Have you stopped praying? Well, then you know where to find him, don't you? Seek his face. Call upon him. Tell him all your heart. Confess your sin. And then determine to go no more than 10 minutes without telling him the news. Where did you lose him? Did you take up with a sin? It wasn't a very big sin. It wasn't a very important sin. It's a sin that you can control. But you've taken up with it. And it's unconfessed. And actually it's a secret. It's a secret that you're keeping from the Lord. Christian friends, no secrets. No secrets. If you can't tell Jesus, then something is wrong, isn't it? Where did you lose him? Was it neglecting the scriptures? So you've stopped reading your Bible? Maybe you come once on a Sunday, and actually even that's feeling like hard work. Go back to where you lost him. Confess your sin. Tell him all your heart. No more secrets. Closeness to Jesus. If you're little with him, you'll be little for him. If you're little with him, then your empty, hungry soul will go looking elsewhere. So brothers and sisters, 2019, let's pursue Jesus. Let's pursue him ourselves. Let's pursue him together. Live near his heart. Make sure that you and he and we and he are good company, the best of company. And all that God may, by his Spirit, make us feel what true loneliness is if for a day we're living at a distance from him. Tell him all your heart. Become like John, the beloved disciple. And you'll find that just as Jesus told John what he didn't tell anybody else, so you'll find that Jesus will start telling you his heart. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? Things that make his heart beat. He'll share with you. He'll tell you. He'll meet with you. And does it ever occur to you that if John loved to be with Jesus, Jesus loved to be with John? He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. So when John at the supper is leaning upon Jesus' chest, he's not intruding, is he? It's not an embarrassing thing for Jesus, and Jesus feels he needs his personal space. There's a special bond. There's a wonderful intimacy. John feels safe there. He feels he has a right to be there, and Jesus wants him there. Have you never thought that it's Jesus' delight to have you live near his heart? And in the wilderness of this world, that it's his delight when you lay your weary head upon his breast. We sit with Peter, Judas, John, betrayal, love. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What is Jesus worth to you? Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, we thank you for this picture. Jesus, Judas, John. We thank you that you poured out your Spirit now. We don't have to eye John and say, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if his experience was our experience. We thank you that by your Spirit we can know an ever-deepening communion and intimacy with you. Therefore, Father, send down your Spirit. Send down your Spirit into our hearts, into this church. And that 2019 might be a year crowned with delight in our Beloved, our Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. And this we pray in his beautiful name. Amen.